Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us once again online as we worship today. One main announcement for this week is that actually on next week, we are going to be starting our in-person live worship. That means I won't have to be talking and waving my hands to empty pews next week, hopefully. It'll be good to see many of your faces again. So what we're doing is next Sunday, June 7th, at 10 a.m., we're having a worship service only. So next Sunday, 10 a.m., worship service only. And we welcome those in our church to come back. Again, we'll be doing our best to do social distancing and all that type of stuff to keep us safe. If you are a person who is at risk, you are welcome to stay home. And we're going to try to continue to provide something online, whether audio or video. So just stay tuned. Stay tuned to your email or Facebook. Our church webpage. If there are any updates, they will be showing up there. So we look forward, hopefully next week, to seeing you in person. We're going to begin this morning with hymn 512, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It. Hymn 512, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Take a few minutes this morning, as we've been doing. Get out your computers or your cell phones or your other electronic devices or even the telephone and give someone a call this morning and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday. I miss you. So take a few minutes and greet one another this morning. A number of years ago, when Sarah and I had been dating, there was a period of about 4 or 5 years that we did not see each other at all due to a number of circumstances. God was working in both of our lives, and I liked her very, very much, so it was difficult not to be around her. But in God's time, as he worked, God reopened those doors. And I remember the first time I went to see Sarah after all those years, and I remember walking up and knocking on her apartment door and feeling very nervous, but attempting to be calm and cool and collected. And she opened the door, and I looked into her eyes. And there was a whole wave of emotions and feelings that went over me in one split second. And wow, I'll never forget. I was so glad to see her again. I'm looking over at her right now, my beautiful lady. For those of us who believe in Christ's death and his resurrection, someday the door will open for us and we will see Jesus face to face. As wonderful as my experience with Sarah was, I know that it will pale in comparison to seeing my Savior. We will begin to forget the sorrows of this world, and I imagine we'll be flooded with all kinds of emotions, maybe a bit of fear and some of awe, maybe some sorrow over sin, yet joy in being in his presence. Wow, what a day. Knowing that we will see Jesus changes our desires and our affections right now. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, it says this, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Don't set your affections and desires on the things of this world. Set them on eternity, knowing that soon you will see Jesus. Let's take a minute this morning and just bow our heads before our great God and thank him for that hope of seeing Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that hope one day of seeing Jesus. Even though there are deep troubles and even deep sorrows in this life, in this world, some of us are going through them right now, we just thank you that there is a hope for eternity. Just help us to keep setting our mind on things above and setting our mind on you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In one of Jesus' parables, he talked about a master and his faithful servants. And the meaning behind this story is obvious. God is the master, and we are to be his faithful servants. Here are the words that we want to hear.
Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord."
When we stand before Jesus someday, we want to do so without shame. Though at times we've all failed, we want to know in that day that we have completed the plan that he has accomplished, or that he has given to us, that we have accomplished his will. And when we look into his eyes, we want to hear him say to us, "Well done." We're going to sing a hymn, "I Shall Know Him," hymn 573, "I Shall Know Him."
My life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view his blessed face, and the luster of his kindly beaming eye. how my fall, I will praise him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepares for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand. Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, he will lead me where no tear shall ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know him, I shall know him, as redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
The Apostle Paul had an excellent perspective on life. Though he could have had much in this life, including wealth and power and position, he saw it all in this bright perspective when he looked at Jesus.
Philippians 3:7 through 10. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
We would like to sing a chorus called Jesus, Draw Me Close. We will see Jesus someday soon, but I want to encourage you. I need to encourage all of us, including myself. We should not just sit still and wait around. There's a lot of work still to be done right now. As we eagerly wait for Jesus, we need to be busy for him today. Again, the Apostle Paul had the right perspective on this.
Philippians 3:12 to 14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
In your daily walk with Jesus and your service for him, press on. Whether you're 10 or 110, keep on serving him with the best of the abilities that he has given you. keep growing in faith, and keep looking forward to when we will stand in the presence of Jesus forever. We're going to close with a hymn, There is a Redeemer, hymn 190, There is a Redeemer.
Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portal. calls, "Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Forever sheltered in the arms of God.
Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. We truly rejoice in the grace of God that allows us to worship today. Now, it's not in person, but praise God, we can worship today with family and friends together. Now, remember, by God's grace, we're planning our first in-person worship next Sunday, June 7th at 10 a.m., and we are really looking forward to being together for worship. So let's continue now our worship this morning. Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. The scripture says this: "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever God sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for the great privilege of worship, and we just can't thank you enough that we people can come together and worship you, our great and holy God. Father, we ask for your help this morning. We ask for a clearness in thinking. We ask for a focus upon you. Father, it is so easy to be pulled away in our thoughts and our affections. And God, we know that if we're to worship in a way that glorifies you, it must be by your Spirit, through your Word. And God, we ask again for your help. So may you be glorified as we worship. Help us to learn truth today, Father, that will change our lives. And God, may you be glorified in it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For a number of months, our sermon series on Sunday morning worship has focused on how God works to help us to trust Him. Now, the propositional statement for the sermon series that we have shared each time that we've stood before you is this: that God is always working to move His people to trust Him. Now, this is important because trusting God brings glory to God. Trusting God displays God's grace and His greatness to the world around us. Now, we've looked at specific examples of people who trusted God. Folks, I was thinking about it as I studied for this week. I've actually gone back about 25 years in sermons and notes and studies to pick out certain individuals for this series of sermons. Most have been God's people. Some have been unbelievers in whom God's working. But this series of sermons is now coming to an end. I have a couple more weeks that I want to give to this topic. And so today, this morning, I'd like to go back to David. Now, earlier in the year, we looked at how David had trusted God when he faced the giant Goliath. And folks, there is no question that God uses giants in our lives to help us to trust God. God uses disasters, He uses dangers, difficulties, disease to help us to depend upon Him and to grow in Him. He helps our faith to become solid as we look to Him in these times of difficulty. But God often uses more than giants. As a matter of fact, in the things of everyday life, in the circumstances, the normal activities of life, in the people relationships of daily living, God uses all of that to help us to depend upon Him. Now, God used several people relationships in David's life to prepare him to be king. For example, even as we read in our passage this morning, God used David's friendship with Jonathan. David experienced true friendship that is selfless and loyal and free and encouraging. And this would help him in future days as God prepared him to be king over Israel. But folks, what I want you to see this morning is that God also used David's relationship with King Saul to prepare him for the throne. In the eyes of the world, this was not a good relationship. Even in the eyes of David and Saul, it was not a good relationship. Saul hated David. Saul was jealous of David. Saul tried to kill David. But believe it or not, God was using the wickedness and the disobedience of Saul to equip David to be king over Israel. God was actually using King Saul to help David trust in God. So how did David respond to Saul? How did David live with King Saul? Perhaps the most important question that we'll answer this morning is this: how did David respond to God in his relationship with Saul? This is important to us as we consider our relationships with other people. Now let's look at our passage this morning. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And I want you to notice, first of all, we see that David submitted to Saul. Look again at verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, the relationship that David had with King Saul did not change after the killing of Goliath. What I mean by that is this: that David's attitude and his relationship with Saul did not change. Saul changed, but David did not. From the very beginning of their relationship, David submitted to Saul. He willingly placed himself under Saul's leadership and Saul's authority. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and look at verse 21. 1 Samuel 16, verse 21. The scripture says, "So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer." Now notice that this verse says that David stood before him. David stood before Saul. Folks, this is a phrase that means to attend to or to serve. David was Saul's servant. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. The scripture says, "Then David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" So David says to Saul as he prepares to fight Goliath, "Your servant will go and fight." You see, David knew that he served God, but part of that service was serving the king. He served the Lord by submitting to the king. And again, look at our passage this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. It says, "So David went out wherever Saul sent him." Now folks, that's a mouthful of submission. Wherever, whenever, whatever Saul said, David did. Brothers and sisters, if there was ever an Old Testament example of godly response to those whom God places over us, it's right here with David. Now keep in mind, even as we read this passage and we begin to think about David's response to Saul, keep in mind that David is the Lord's anointed. Remember that David is the future king. He's already been picked. He's already been appointed. He's already been anointed. But yet, there's no pride or self-centeredness or jealousy or contention or rebellion. There is submission and humility and meekness. Why? Because David knew that submission and obedience and respect and loyalty to King Saul was in truth submission and obedience and loyalty and respect for God Himself. You see, God had placed Saul in authority. God had made Saul king. And God would replace Saul when God was ready. And David's responsibility was to trust God in this relationship. Now folks, let's stop and let's consider David's attitude of submission. This attitude of submission is not something that was reserved for people 3,000 years ago, but this is something that is often missing in our relationships today. Let's face it now, we live in a time of self-centeredness, self-sufficiency, independence from any and all around us. I mean, too many people today believe it's their God-given right to rebel, to cause division, to tear down leaders, to fight against authority. I mean, if you want an example today, look at our government today. What we witness today is the spirit of pride and self-dependence loud and clear from our government leaders. And I'm speaking about the majority of our leaders. And folks, it comes from a society that follows the same path. Now, this is not God's way. When we fight against those whom God places over us, we fight against God. Now, let's do something here. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's look at some principles from the New Testament that will help us understand this morning. So go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Peter's first epistle in the New Testament. And let's look at what Peter says about submission. So 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verses 13 and 14. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Peter writes and he says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." Folks, we are to submit to the leaders of government. Now, the scripture has more to say about that in regards to understanding how that works out in this sinful world, but yet here's the big command. Here's the overall principle. We submit to the leaders of government. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Peter continues and he says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." So we are to submit. Servants are to submit to their masters. This is what Peter says here. In application today, employees are to submit to their employers. And notice we're to submit even to those who are harsh. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Peter says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." And so the Christian wife is to submit to her husband. And notice that Peter says here, even to a disobedient husband. And this submission is critical in winning that husband to the Lord. God will use that. Look at verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." And so, husbands, we submit to our wives by honoring them and caring for them and leading them in holiness and righteousness. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verses 1 through 3. Peter says, "The elders or the pastors who were among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." And so pastors submit to a church by feeding them the Word of God and being examples of a life lived by the Word of God. Pastors serve God's people. See, that's submission. Look at verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He continues, and he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And so the church submits to its pastors, to its leaders. And we all submit to one another. We all clothe ourselves in humility. And why? What's the basis of these commands? In this statement, Peter says this, "For God resists the proud, and God gives grace to the humble." This is a statement that's used several times in the Word of God. And then, folks, look at verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Peter says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We all are to submit to God. And you know, when I read this verse, verse 6, the thought that came to mind was, well, this is a perfect description of David in the Old Testament. Folks, in every relationship, from top to bottom or from bottom to top, it's to be characterized by submission and humility. And frankly, folks, we can't do this on our own. We read these verses that I've read this morning, we begin to think about these relationships with people in our lives, and we can't do this in our own power. This takes the power of God. This takes the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we might live in this submission, this humility before others. And so why should we submit? Let me give you one more example. Go back to chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and look at verses 21. We'll start with verse 21. Peter directs our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had just told these Christian servants to submit to their masters. And even if their masters were harsh, they were to submit to them. Even if they suffered for doing what was right, they were to submit to them. And then Peter gives the example. Look at verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Do you see that, folks? Oh, I want you to see it. Jesus trusted God. And that's exactly the example that we have and the example that we are to follow. God the Son trusted God the Father in the midst of sinful man threatening him and reviling him and hurting him and causing him to suffer. And so here then is the answer. Here's how we respond to those people that God places over us, even the Sauls in our own lives. We submit to them. And as we submit to them, we submit to God. This is a clear example of trusting God. Now, how specifically can we do this? Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. And let's look at how David submitted. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. How did David submit? There are two phrases that are used several times in this chapter to describe David's relationship with Saul. Look again at verse 5, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. Notice that it says, "So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely." The Hebrew word that's used here is the word sakal. Look at verse 14. Chapter 18, verse 14. We see it again. The writer says, "And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." Look at verse 15. "Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him." And then look at verse 30. "Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed." This word sakal, it means to be wise. It means to be patient, to be instructed, to have understanding, to prosper. And so, folks, David is a clear picture of humility and respect and patience and honor to King Saul and to the nation. And then there's a second phrase. David went out and came in before the people. And it's actually two Hebrew words. The words are yasa and bo. So look at verse 13, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 13. The scripture says, "Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people." Look at verse 16. "But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them." Now, when these words, these different words are put together, they actually mean to do your duty well. And so the scriptures tell us that David was a sakal man and David was a yasabo man. And when we look at these words carefully, we find some very interesting characteristics. And these characteristics will help us understand how that David submitted. So what are some characteristics of submission? Well, first of all, David controlled his words. I want you to hold your place in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 19. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. The writer of Proverbs says this. I'll give you a moment to get there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. I want to make sure you see it. He says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." That word wise there is sakal. And so a man who behaves wisely controls his words. And folks, think about it. David never opened his mouth against Saul. And there were many opportunities. Saul tried to kill him. Saul demoted him. Saul broke a promise to him. And folks, there's not one record of David bad-mouthing Saul or tearing Saul down or sinful criticism from David about Saul. Now, this doesn't mean that we should never speak, but it does mean that we should speak wisely or not at all. So how does God want us to speak to those who were over us? Well, I think the answer would be the same way that we should speak to anyone. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And so David submitted. He behaved wisely by controlling his words. A second characteristic is this. David received instruction. This Hebrew word sakal is also related to teaching. A wise person is teachable. And folks, that's the kind of person that David was. He guarded his mouth and he was teachable. So look now at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 3. Solomon writes and he says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom." There's sakal, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Look at Proverbs chapter 21, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 11. We have that word used again. The writer says this, "When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise, but when the wise is instructed," that's sakal, "when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge." Brothers and sisters, we must never come to a point when we reject teaching and counsel or even criticism. We need the input of others into our lives, and God sends people to help us. If you look at the life of David, if you look at the Psalms that he wrote, you will see very clearly that David was always open to instruction. David behaved wisely because he was teachable. He controlled his words. He was teachable. There's a third characteristic that we see in David's life. David trusted in the Lord. And this characteristic just moved throughout his life. Humility and submission are the result of a complete trust and confidence in God. Now I want you to think about this, because we don't submit to those over us because we don't submit to God. Folks, there is a direct connection between our submission to those whom God has placed over us and our submission to God. Don't ever forget that. Now here's another way to say it. Why don't we submit to those who God places over us? We don't trust God. See, we don't trust God with the parents that He gives us, or the husband that He gives us, or the wife that He gives us, or the supervisor that He gives us, or the president or the governor that He gives us. When we trust the Lord, then we can be humble. We can put others first. We can submit to those who were over us, because that is what God tells us to do, and we are obedient to Him. You see, our submission to those over us, those humans who were over us, is actually submission to God. The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 20, "He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is He. We are able to submit to those over us because we trust the Lord. And again, when you look at the Psalms, you look at the life of David, there's example after example that David trusted God. David waited on the Lord. He trusted Him. David behaved wisely by trusting in God. There's a fourth characteristic. David did his duty well. David was a Yasa bow man. He went out and he came in before others. And remember, that means he did his duty well. And regardless of the circumstances, David did his job. He went out and he came in when he cared for his father's sheep. He went out and he came in when he played the harp for King Saul. He went out and he came in when he cared for Saul's armor. He went out and he came in when he fought Goliath. He went out and he came in when he led Saul's army. He went out and he came in when he led 1,000 men. You see, in all that he did, no matter the circumstances, no matter the difficulties, he did well. And brothers and sisters, here's the clear lesson of how to conduct ourselves when we're mistreated, when we're not given recognition by those who were over us. Keep at it. Do your job. Be faithful in ministry. Keep busy at your God-given work. Too often believers resort to the ways of the world when they're mistreated. They seek revenge. They slow down. They do a lousy job. They complain. They don't cooperate. But not David. There was no reason that Saul could rightfully condemn David. David submitted to Saul. And because of that, the Lord blessed him and people supported him. And David went out and he came in before the people. He always did his duty well. Now let's think about David. He was living and serving a man who was jealous of him, who was selfish, who was consumed with pride, who was controlled by fits of rage, who hated him. If we had to evaluate David's work life, or if we had to evaluate David's home life, we would say, well, it was not good. And folks, I know that there are some of you who are facing similar circumstances in your home or on your job. So what can you do? How can you please the Lord? How can you trust God? Well, the Scripture says that David behaved wisely in the sight of all men. David did his duty well. David submitted to Saul. And this was the response that would honor and please and glorify the Lord. And this was the clear way that David trusted God. Now, one final reminder. God put Saul on the throne of Israel. God put Saul in authority over David. God put Saul in David's life. And David's response to Saul was actually his response to God. You see, God was working to move David to trust Him. Let me end with two questions. First of all, how are you responding to the Saul in your life? And most important, how are you responding to God? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, help us right now. Consider these simple truths that we've learned from David this morning. And God, our hearts are just lifted up toward You because we realize that You're always working. And God, we know that we face this struggle in everyday life. Help us, Father, I pray. Father, I pray that by Your Spirit You take this word, this example from David, these scriptures that we've looked at, Your word this morning, and God, by Your Spirit, that You will do this work of transforming us God, help us not be like the world. Help us, Father, not to follow that pathway, but to look to you and trust you. And therefore, in every relationship, God, may we submit to you. May we honor you. And God, help us to continually remind ourselves that when we have those difficult relationships, God, this is your purpose. This is your plan. And you send these people into our lives that we might put our dependence and our trust in you. Thank you for your faithful work. We give you glory now and praise. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.
For our closing hymn this morning, we're going to be doing Trust and Obey. Hymn 418, Trust and Obey.
Walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Verse number 3.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Verse number 5.
Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Father, help us as we go forward this week in trusting you and obeying you. And just thank you. We do look forward to that day. We have that hope of being in fellowship with you and sitting at your feet and seeing Jesus. Just help us and give us strength as we go forward this week. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.